Good morning. Pleasure to be here in God's house with God's people. What better place could we ever be? I want to talk to you a little bit about how this message came to be. I've been struggling for quite some time looking at this world, looking at our nation, wondering what in the world is going wrong. What's wrong? And as I look around, what's wrong with our families? What's wrong with our churches? What's wrong with our communities? What's wrong with our country? What's wrong with the world? And this was the thought that came to me. We're not being godly men. We need godly men. In each of those places, we need godly men in families. We need godly men in the church leading. We need godly men in our communities, our nation, and our world. And there's way too far few godly, truly godly men. So I started on a quest with this question. What does the Bible say about being a godly man? And I looked at a lot of different places, and there's a organization on the internet called gotquestions.org. I'm sure some of you are probably familiar with it, but I've come to appreciate it. And you can type a question like that into it, and a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, they'll have a study about that. And what I like about it is they use the Word of God. They use a lot of the Word of God. So some of my information is coming from that, and I'm going to use a lot of the Word of God this morning because that's what we need. That's where we're going to find the answers, isn't it? That's where the families are going to find the answers. That's where churches are going to find the answers, communities, nations. That's where the world's going to find the answer. So I've got some good news and bad news for us guys. The bad news is God puts a lot of responsibility on our shoulders. A lot of responsibility is put on the shoulders of men, especially a godly man. But the good news is He knows we can't do it on our own. But He tells us what we can do and how we can do to get the help from Him, that He can do it through us. So that's what I want to look at this morning. And I have to commit, I have to confess to you that when I first started through this, I kind of got discouraged. I saw how far short I was falling in a lot of these areas. But then God kind of encouraged me. I started looking back over my life, and I saw how far I've come. I'm not there. I'm just like all of you guys. I've got a long ways to go, but I'm working on it. But I see God has helped me through the years. He's faithful. He will continue to help me, won't He? And He is. He will continue to help each of you men. So ladies, I hope you will indulge me this morning. Much of what I'm going to say applies as much to you as it does to a man. But I want to talk just to the men. Because if we're going to change our world, if we're going to change our families, if we're going to change our nation, this is what it's going to take. It's going to take men that know and follow God, that love Him, that have a personal relationship with Him, that understand the responsibilities that are squarely put on our shoulders, and with His help, fulfill them. So what does the Bible say about a godly man? The Bible is a handbook, and anyone who desires to be a godly man or woman, God created man and woman after his own image. We find that in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Part of being in his image, in the image of God, is that we are to reflect God's character, aren't we? However, we have a problem. That problem is sin, isn't it? It's pretty hard to reflect God's holy character when you're a sinner. So we need God's help, don't we? Sin has marred that image and has distorted that character that God gave us when he created us. Men and women are created in the image of God, something no other creature can claim. This makes every single human being valuable and worthy of respect, and yet males and females are not identical, are they? God didn't create them that way. They are biologically, physiologically, and emotionally distinct. I think every man will agree with that. But that's the way God's made it. And guys, we ought to be thankful. God made our wives the way they are. They have a perception. They have a sixth sense that we just don't have. They can't shut off half of their brain like we can and focus and get the job done. And that's a good thing. And we ought to realize that and use that perception that they have. And this, God called his original creation, which he included distinct genders, very good, didn't he? And you can find that in Genesis 1:31. Biblical manhood must include a godly view of women. Mistreatment of women, such as forbidding education, sexual abuse, or denying civil rights are violations of the image of God, aren't they? So too are attitudes that ignore differences between the sexes, or, as we're trying to do, erase gender roles. God knows what he's doing. God doesn't make mistakes, does he? If he did, he would cease to be God. Some things that Scripture does not include as part of a biblical manhood: men are not called to be tyrants, ruling their home with an iron fist or a dictator's attitude. Nor are they instructed to be cowed and weak-kneed toward their families. Nor are men called on to enforce the biblical ideals of womanhood in their wives. Humility, self-control, protection, provision, and leadership are the man's responsibilities and his tools. Men are accountable for the spiritual leadership within their families. Yet, each person is ultimately accountable to God for his or her own life. The proper perspective for leadership comes from, and if you'll open your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians 5. And in my Bible, this section is titled "In Relation to Home Life." But if you have your Bibles, turn there, and if you'll stand with me, let's read Ephesians 5:25 through 6:4. So if you're able, please stand with me and let's read this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself. And let the wife see to it that you respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the answers that are in it, when we will just dig them out. Lord, I just pray for each man here, each woman here, each boy, each girl. You'd speak to us this morning, that you'd speak through me. Help me to handle your word correctly, Lord, as you would want it to be handled. And I pray for each of the men that we would take this seriously, take the responsibilities that you squarely lay upon our shoulders, and we would truly be the men that would change this world that you'd want us to be, that would bring glory and honor to your name, that would be the examples that are so desperately needed in our world today. So we commit this time to you and ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The goal of every believer's life is to become more and more like Christ, isn't it? I don't know about you, but that kind of blows my mind, that this old sinner could ever be like Christ. Whoa. But that's God's promise. It's not going to happen fully until I see him face to face, is it? But maybe I ought to be working on it so it's not quite the great shock when I finally get there. That might be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. For men in their God-given role, this means leading and loving their wives in the same way Christ loved the church. How was that? Sacrificially. Dying on the cross. Ephesians 5:2, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. Men, we do this through service. John 13:14-15. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. I read that verse and you know what came to my mind? When's the last time I washed my wife's feet? When's the last time I washed anybody's feet? And this isn't talking about just washing feet, is it? It's talking about being a servant. I didn't like the answer. So I'm going to ask you this morning, men and women, when's the last time you did some feet washing? Has it been too long? I can't answer that for you. I answered it for me. And hopefully I will do better going forward. Okay, in selfless love, Ephesians 5:28. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal, yet serve different roles, so too can men and women be equal in value and in spiritual worth, yet have different roles to play. The first step in becoming a godly man is to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." We can't do it without first being saved. We can't do it without going through Jesus Christ, can we? So, a godly man must have a close personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. For him to be able to accomplish any of these things. That's the first step. Without that step, we'll never do the rest of these. And I guess I told my wife this morning, it's kind of like trying to drink out of a fire hose. I'm going to throw a lot of things out this morning, and any one of these you could spend a long time talking at. So I don't want to discourage you, but find one and work on it, and then start on the next one. God will help us. He will help you. Humility, an acknowledgement of our imperfection. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That doesn't leave any of us out, does it? We're all in the same boat. A godly man repents when he sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise, folks, we need. He will do that for us. His acceptance of Christ for his salvation, and he'll have a continual sense of dependence on God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. Hebrews 13:5, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. A godly man will study, learn and understand the word and the will of God. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We will do that through the word of God. Where else are you going to find out how to be a godly man, how to be a godly woman? How to be a godly young girl. How to be a godly young man. Through his word. That's going to take some time and effort, isn't it? It's not just going to happen. Romans 12:2 says, and be not confused, conform to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect God. I already said that.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning thoughts and intents of the heart.
This gives us the tools, men, to meet all of the obligations, all of the responsibilities that God has placed upon our shoulders. But knowing what God wants is only the first step. As biblical manhood also requires submission to that knowledge. Men are called on to control their urges and appetites. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4 says this: For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. We are to rely on God to overcome temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Godly men are to follow God's commands instead of their own urges and wants. Biblical manhood includes the responsibility to protect one's family. This may mean physically, to the point of laying down his life. What did Christ do? Ephesians 5:25, Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the Bible, men are called to fight to protect their wives and children. This also involves spiritual protection. Protecting one's wife and family from harm, both spiritual and physical, should be a natural instinct for a godly man. Men are also called to be the primary providers for their families. 1 Timothy 5:8 states, But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. With God's Spirit inside him is what we need. The only way we can accomplish these things, isn't it? God's got to do it through us. He's got to help us, but we have to allow him. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this: Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. The godly man is able to understand the deep things of the Spirit. He begins to see life differently. Life is no longer about pleasing himself, but it's about pleasing his Lord. Romans 13:12-14 states this: The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. The godly man knows he will still stumble as he strives toward holiness. James 3:2 tells us this: For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Our goal ought to be holy, as our Lord is holy, as we're going to be when we see him face to face. 1 Peter 1:16, You shall be holy, for I am holy. He learns early that his fleshly attempts at holiness only result in pride and failure. The godly man learns that as he surrenders his will to the Holy Spirit and relies upon him for strength to overcome temptation, he can withstand more temptation and accomplish greater eternal goals than he ever thought possible. Is there anything impossible with God? We need to rely on that, men, women, girls, boys. The God that we have does the impossible. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that leave anything out? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we're going to endeavor to be a godly man, it's got to be through Christ. It's got to be in his strength. I'll fail every time in my own strength. And I've done it many times. I hope I'm learning that. A godly man is one who has died to his flesh. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This does not mean he no longer faces temptation. It means that when he is tempted, the decision about whether to give in has already been made. He relies on the power of the Holy Spirit to help him say no to his flesh and yes to the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. As he regularly opposes sin, he finds that his spirit grows stronger, and temptation becomes easier to resist, because our God is faithful 100% of the time. If you'll notice, we had one of these in a checklist for godly men. We're going to go through this. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's a really good start. And I don't like to confess this, but I had a thought when I was making this, and when Cheryl helped me type it out and put it together, and this was a thought that came to my mind. If I was a smart man, I would give this to my wife. And I would say, honey, when you see that I'm not following this, would you just lay it out where I can see it? Don't confront me about it. Just lay it out somewhere where I will be a reminder. So I'm going to challenge you other men maybe to do the same. Or put it in your Bible, or put it somewhere you're going to see it once in a while and review it. A checklist. How am I doing on this road to being a godly man? So let's go through this checklist. The godly man accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And we've already looked at that. Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me. A godly man repents when he sins, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number 3, he considers himself dead to sin, but alive to God. Romans 6:1-4, and then verse 11. I'm not going to read all of these. I would encourage you to go back and go through them sometime, but verse 11 says, Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Wow. If we could just do that, what a life we'd have. Be alive to Christ Jesus every moment of every day. What a man we could be. 4, seeks to remain humble rather than exalt himself. Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. 5, is a servant rather than demanding to be served. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Number 6, leads by example. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Number 7, loves his wife as Christ loves the church. We've looked at that. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Number 8, lives in sexual purity, honoring God with his body. Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but it's the immoral man sins against his own body. Number 9, seeks to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18, Acts 13, 52, and we'll look at Galatians 5, 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Number 10, desires to please the Lord more than himself. That's a tough one. We kind of like what we like. Want what we want, don't we? But that's not being a godly man. Not what God wants. Desires to please the Lord more than himself. 1 Corinthians 5, 9. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. To be pleasing to our Lord and Savior. Be pleasing to God. And the last one, number 11, bears fruit for the kingdom of God. We'll find that in John 15, 5 through 8. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. A godly man is not a perfect man. We will never reach perfection until we are in the physical presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. The godly man embraces his manhood and knows that Jesus, not the world, has set the standard for what it means to be a real man. So he strives daily to model his life after Jesus. He does not excuse the sins and weakness he finds in himself, but he continually surrenders those areas to God and asks for his help in overcoming them. Romans 6, 11 through 14, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. regardless of your physical appearance, your social status, your economic standing, any man can be a godly man if he loves God with all his heart and seeks to obey him in every area of his life. Luke 10:27 says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Galatians 2:20 says this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." A godly man is called to lead through love, through service, and through sacrifice. This is not a domineering leadership or a repressive arrogance. Male leadership in the home and in the church is meant to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. Jesus Christ gave how much? He gave it all. He gave it all for you and I. This morning I want to leave you with one last verse. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Joshua, verse 8. Joshua, verse 1-8. I know a lot of you probably have this memorized, but I think this verse sums up what it's going to take to be truly a godly man, a godly woman, a godly boy, or a godly girl. So if you'll stand with me, let's read Joshua 1:8 together. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Joshua tells us plainly that to be a godly person, God wants us to be, is going to take time. It's going to take much effort and work. It's not just going to happen. We're going to have to do our part. First, we need to know God's word well. We need to be in it daily, like our daily food. How many times a day do you eat? Most of us at least three, and most of us a lot more than that, but we snack a little in between, but if we're going to be spiritually strong, folks, we've got to do this. We've got to take in the God's word like every day if we're going to stay strong. And he tells us to meditate on it, to have it in our mind day and night. And then most importantly, what does he tell us to do? Do it. Do what I say. Then I can bless you. Things will work. Then with God's help, we can make our way prosperous and successful as God defines it, not as the world defines it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the answers that are always in it. I pray for each man here. I pray for each woman, each boy, each girl. Help us to do this, Lord. Help us to be in your word daily, to feed upon it, so that we can be spiritually strong, so that we can know what's right, what's wrong, what you expect of us, what you want us to do. Lord, in my 60-some years, hopefully I've learned that when I follow you, it works. Every time I go my own way, it doesn't work. So I pray you'd help us to follow you as men in our families, as men in our church, as men in our community. I pray for our leaders. I pray for a great spiritual revival. You know, show these things to those that are in our government and the governments around the world. I pray that you'd raise up some godly men to be in these positions so that things can be done correctly and right. But it starts at home. It starts in each of our own families, Lord. So I just pray in the weeks and months and years ahead, you'd help us to be the godly men that you'd want us to be. And I ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.